Mesechtes Chulin, Daf Mem Gimel, 9 lines from the top of Daf Mem Gimel Mid Aleph, and our Mishnah discussed Yudchas Treifos, and one of the Treifos mentioned in the Mishnah was Nikva Hamara, if the gallbladder was punctured, and even B'mashu, 5 lines from the top of Daf Mem Gimel Mid Aleph, we saw the member of Chiyah Barav, that there are Ches Treifos B'Nikuva, that there are 8 Treifos that are based on the category of Nikuva, even if you will ask that there are actually 9 different Treifos that are based on Nikuva, Chiyah Barav did not count Nikva Hamara, as that treifa is only a das yachid, as that is a sheet of Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Chacham Machilik, they hold that Nikva Hamara would not be a treifa, and as our Gemara stated, the Tanya Nikva Kiva Nikva Dakim treifa, and Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda ime af Nikva Hamara. And our Gemara will now continue that although we just saw that Chiyah Barav does not paskin like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, however, Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yisrael will bring down from Rabbi Yechon, and Rabbi Yechon does paskin like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, that Nikva Hamara would be a treifa, and the Gemara will bring down 5 memories that was stated by Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yechon. And as the Gemara states, Hilchos Chava Kazayis Mara V'Kokvon Simin, and these are the simanim for the memories of Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yechon. Our Gemara begins with the first memra, as Amar Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yisrael Amar Rabbi Yechon Halacha Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, that the halacha follows Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, that Af Nikva Hamara is considered a treifa. And the Gemara continues with the second memra of Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yechon, and this is the simon of Chover. And as the Gemara continues, Va'am Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yisrael Va'am Rabbi Yechon, Maya Hadrili Chaveri Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, that would the Chum respond to Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda? Why would they hold that Nikva Hamara would not be considered a treifa? Rabbi Yechon tells us that they respond based on the Pasuk in Iyov, where the Satan was causing great Yisurin to Iyov, and the Pasuk tells us in Iyov in Perek Tazayin, Yisraybo Olai Rabov Yifala Kal Yosef V'lo Yachmol, and the Pasuk then states, Yishbech La'aretz Mirirasi, that he pours my gall onto the ground, and since the gall or the bile that was in the gallbladder of Iyov was pouring onto the ground, so his gallbladder must have been punctured, and Vadayin Iyov Kayim, and even so, Iyov stayed alive, and Iyov did not die, and therefore we see that a puncture in a gallbladder does not cause a person, and by extension does not cause an animal to become a treifa. And Agmar continues, Amalahem, E Maskir Maisinisim, and Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda responded to Chachamim, that even though it's true that Iyov did not die, but that was Al-Yidei Anes, and generally Nikva Hamara would be a treifa, and you can't bring a raya for an Anes. And as Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda continues, the Eloi Temahachi, that when the Pasuk states in Iyov, Yifalach Kal Yosef V'lo Yachmol, Mika Chayei, El Nisa Shaini, Dichsiv, and as the Pasuk in Iyov in Perek Bey states, Vayoyim HaShem El Satan, Hine Biyodecha, Achas Nafshe Shemar, and Hachanami Nisa Shaini. And Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda's raya is, that since in the same Pasuk in Iyov, the Pasuk tells us that the Satan split the kidneys of Iyov, and he did not have Rachmanis on Iyov, and as Rashi explains, Hainu Lakusa V'Treifa, and this referred to a disease of his kidneys, and certainly all agree that by an animal this would be a simon of a treifa, and even so, Iyov was able to live, so it must be that the only reason why Iyov was able to live was Al-Yidei Anes, and as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Satan, although I'm allowing you to bring terrible Yisurin on Iyov, however you have to make sure that Iyov stays alive, and as Rashi points out, that the Satan actually gave such terrible Yisurin to Iyov that it was makas mobis, and really a normal person would have died, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically told him he has to make sure to protect his nefesh and that Iyov shouldn't die. Can I mean him b'ashutfin? And as we learned in Mesechtes Baba Basra and Daf Tazayin, that Godel Tzairi Shel Satan Mishel Iyov, as Mashal Lo'im La'avdoi Shvar Chaviz Shishmar Yena, and since when the Pasuk states Yifal Kal Yosai, although generally people would die and an animal would be a treifa if there would be a problem with their kloyais and a problem with their kidneys, however there was a nace that Iyov did not die, and the same was true that even though it was Nikva Hamara, however Iyov didn't die Al-Yidei Anes, but generally if someone or a behemoth would be Nikva Hamara, then it would be a treifa and they would die. And let's keep in mind that although at the top of our Amid Ula brought down that Ches Minei Treifa is never like the Maisha Misinai, and the Gemara tells us that Ula did not mention Lakusa, as he doesn't hold of Lakusa of Rachish Bapapa. However, Rachish Bapapa was referring to a case where the kidneys were damaged through a makah, not because of an infection or because they became unhealthy. And L'chari, even though Ula did not hold of Lakusa of Rachish Bapapa, however, certainly he would hold that a diseased kidney would be a treifa. Nayin Tesis Diba Maskli Yifal Kli Yosei Mika Chayi, where he asks a question on Rashi, that the Menole, the high Lakusa, the Iyov, have a Lakusa, the Havid Be Treifa, Ha'ika Lakusa, the Kshira, Kida Omla Kamon, and as we learned, Afnun Heyom Beis, therefore Tesis explains that what Agamara means, that Mika Chayi, B'lei Refu, Rafua, that certainly one would not be able to live unless they had medical intervention, and certainly we don't find that Eiv had any medical intervention, and as Taisa states, V'Eiv le'metzinu she'as le'shem Rafua, and even so he was able to live, and it must be that it was based on a nes, Ayin Sham. And before we continue with the next member of Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yechon, let us begin with Akdama, and in the Gemara and Daf Mem Vavam and Aleph, the Gemara will ask a steer between our Mishnah and the Mishnah and Daf Nun Daladam and Aleph. Our Mishnah teaches us that one of the trefais are nitel akoved v'loy nishtari menuklum, that if a behemoth is missing the entire liver and it doesn't have any part of the liver at all, then it can't regenerate, and therefore the animal would be considered a trefa. And it's mashma that if it would have any part of the liver, and even if it would be less than a kazayas, then the liver could still regenerate and would not be a trefa. And meanwhile, in the Mishnah Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph, Mishnah teaches us ve'elu k'sheyes bebehemah, and the Mishnah goes on to list nitla hakaved v'nishtari mena kazayas. And the only time that the behemah would be kosher is only if there's at least a kazayas left of the liver. But if there would be less than a kazayas, then the animal would be a trefa. And there's a steer between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph. And the Gemara explains that ina chenami, there's a machlekes between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph. And our Gemara now continues and tells us and this is the third of the memories of Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yechon, and this is the third siman of Kazayas, and Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef teaches us in the name of Rabbi Yechon that the halacha is like the Mishnah and the Nun Daled Amud Aleph, and if there remains a Kazayas of the Kaved, then the animal would not be a Trefa. However, if the Kaved is missing and there's less than a Kazayas that's left, then it would be a Trefa. Agamar continues and is bothered, Umiyam Rabbi Yechon Hachi, that how could Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef tell us in the name of Rabbi Yechon that Rabbi Yechon passes like the Mishnah and Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph, if our Omer Rabbi Bechana, Omer Rabbi Yechon, and some only goes for Omer Rabbi Yechon, halachah is Stam Mishnah, that we have a klal in the name of Rabbi Yechon, that we always passing like a Stam Mishnah, but then we learned in our Mishnah, nitla akoved v'loyin shtayim men eklum, that the only time that an animal would be considered a trefa is only if the entire liver is removed, nothing remains at all, and therefore can't regenerate, and clearly our Mishnah holds, hanishtayim kshira afagav d'layav k'sayis, that as long as there's some part of the liver that remains, and even if it's less than a kazayas, the animal would not be considered a trefa. And as Rashi points out, that since we have our Stam Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and we also have the Stam Mishnah on Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph, that I might omit the Sefer Mereisha, why would Rabbi Yechon passing like the second Stam Mishnah over the first Stam Mishnah? And Ayin Tezis, who points out that even though we generally have a klal, that in one Mesechta Yesh Seid LeMishnah, and therefore it would make sense Rabbi Yechon would passing like the second Stam Mishnah, is when Rabbi Yehuda was being Mesadda the Mishnayas, whenever he wanted to Paskin like a Manda Omar, we would not bring down that Shita in the name of that Manda Omar, as then people would think that it's only a Das Yochid, and he would bring it down Stama in order to show us that this is like the Shita Rabbanon, and we should Paskin like this Manda Omar. L'chur, by the fact that he brought this down as the second Mishnah, so L'chur, it shows us they wanted to Paskin like this Manda Omar. However, Zoktesis Mekom Mokom Hach Mishnah de Elu Trefeis Ve Elu Ksheris Kechod de Babachosher Ve In Seder, although that may be a klal when dealing with a Mishnah in one area, and then a bit later we find another Mishnah, so we would pass it like the second Stam Mishnah. However, over here, we consider that as if it's the one Mishnah, and therefore, just by the fact that it's brought down a bit later in the Mishnah, that would not clarify Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's opinion, Ayin and Taisvis. And the Gemara answers, Amroi Ninu, Valibid Rabbi Yechon, Ta'ina Chenami, is a machlikis as to what Rabbi Yechon held in a Gea Stam Mishnah. And Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef hold that Rabbi Yechon never made a klal, that Allah is Stam Mishnah. The only time that we know what Rabbi Yechon's opinion is only if he actually passed. And he told us who the halacha would follow. That's why Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef brought down the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. The halacha follows the Tana of the Mishnah and Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph. And as he stated, halacha gedivrei Ayin Mekazayas. However, the arm and the arm that hold, Rabbi Yechon made a klal that we always follow the Stam Mishnah. Since in the case of Nitla Kaved, we have two parts of the Mishnah that associate each other. So as Rashi tells us on the second of the middle lines, Vehechad Ikka Shrei Stami, the Sasun Hadadi, we Ikka Taimu Lalu Mechod Mechavrasa, Kahid. However, if we don't have a valid reason as to why we should paskin like one man da omar over the other, so it will be a suffix to Rabbi Yechon, and therefore in our scenario, if we would have found a good reason why Rabbi Yechon should paskin like the Mishnah and Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph, then we wouldn't have to say that it's machlekes amroim as to the sheet of Rabbi Yechon, and we would be able to explain that the reason why Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef stayed in the name of Rabbi Yechon halach gibri oimer kizayis is because we would have a good reason why Rabbi Yechon would pass like the Mishnah on Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph. However, Mishum de Lekalalume is Chuchlan Lashnuid, Rabbi Yitzchak Leslie High Claude Rabbi Echron, Ayin Rashi. And the Gemara now continues with the fourth member of Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef, the name Rabbi Echron, and this is referred to as a Siman of Mara. And as the Gemara continues, V'om Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef, Om Rabbi Echron, Mara Shenikva, V'chavitz Samta, Kshira. Even though we already mentioned that Rabbi Echron passed like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that an animal would be a trefa if it's Nikva Mara. However, Rabbi Echron now qualifies that halacha, and he teaches us that since the gallbladder is right next to the liver, and the rest of the innards of the animal pushes the gallbladder against the liver of the animal, and therefore, if the hole that's in the gallbladder is on the side where the gallbladder is pushing against the liver, so the liver acts as a seal to the gallbladder, and we would not consider it to be nekuva, therefore it would not be a trefa. And as Rashi states, v'chavid tse sasma, shenekuva b'mokim dubuka b'chavid, v'chiba chavid tse sonekev, shakshira filo Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara will now continue and discuss the last of the memories of Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Echron, which the Gemara referred to in the Siman as Korkvan. And before we begin the next Gemara, let us begin with a short Akdama and discuss the anatomy of a bird. And since birds do not have teeth, therefore they cannot chew their food, and they swallow their food whole, and the food first travels through the veshet or the esophagus or the food pipe, and it goes into the zefek, which is the crop, which stores the undigested food, and then it travels into their stomach, and a highly muscular part of their stomach is called the gizzard or the korkvan, and using these muscles as well as small ingested stones called grit, and that allows the bird to pulverize and grind up the food before digestion. And as we will see in our Gemara, there are actually two parts of the korkvan. There is the outer muscle of the gizzard or the korkvan, and there is also an inner pouch where the food sits. And the Gemara will refer to this part as the kiss. And based on this Akdama, let us see our Gemara as V'amar Bisa Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Echron Nikva korkvan V'kiss Shaloi Kayim Kosher. Although in the Mishnah on Dafnun Vava Menalef, when the Mishnah will discuss the Trefais Pa'ifais, the Mishnah will tell us that Nikev HaKokvon is a trefa. However, the only time will be considered a trefa is only if the puncture went through the entire Kokvon. However, if it only went through the outer muscles and didn't pierce the kiss, then the bird would not be considered a trefa and it would be kosher. And the Gemara continues in the AS, Hiboilhu Nikev HaKiss V'Kokvon Kayimai, that what would be the Alocha, who would be the opposite, that the hole was in the kiss and the Kokvon was Kayim and it didn't pierce through both of them. And the Gemara tells us, Tashma, the Omer of Nachman, Nikev Zebelei Zeh Kosher, or as the Bach is Gurus, Nikev Zebelei Zeh, or Zesh Lekeneg Zeh Kosher, that the only way that a bird would be considered trefa is only if both of those layers would be pierced and punctured. However, if only one layer would be pierced or punctured, then it would not be a trefa, as the food will not escape into the cavity of the bird, and therefore it's not considered trefa. And Rav Nachman also teaches us that even if both of these areas were completely punctured, however, if they weren't punctured right next to each other, so the bird will still not be considered a trefa. Our Gemara will now continue and discuss a din that's relevant to the veshet. We will then get back to the korkvan. And as the Gemara continues, Amar Rabba Shnei Oris Yesh Lo Veshet Chitzein Adaim Uprimi Lavain, that the esophagus or the food pipe of an animal has two different layers. The outer layer is red, and the inside layer is white. Rabba teaches us that when we learned in our Mishnah that one of the trefa is in the kuvus haveshet, and as Rashi states that nekuva is even b'mashu. However, Rabba now qualifies that halacha as Nikev Zebelei Zeh Kosher, that even though Nekuvus HaVeshet is referring to a mashu, however, the Nekev has to go through and through, and it has to pierce both the white layer as well as the red layer of the Veshet. And if there is only a hole in one of the layers and doesn't go through to the other layer, then it would still be kosher and it would not be a trefa. The Gemara is now bothered, that what was the reason that Rabba had to teach us the actual Metzias of the Veshet, and why do you have to tell us that the outer layer is red and the inner layer of the veshet is white? Rabba could have just simply stated that in order for Nekuvus HaVeshet to be considered a trefa, puncture has to be through and through and has to go through the entire veshet. And why does he have to tell us that the outer layer is red and the inner layer is white? And the Gemara explains the Ichal of Trefa, that Rabba is teaching us that if we would find the colors of the veshet to be exactly the opposite, we would find that the inner layer of the veshet is red and the outer layer is white, then the animal will be a trefa. Ayin the Rosh and Simon Beis, who points out that our Gemara states the Ichal of Trefa, and therefore im shneim adumim or shneim levanim kasa bala'ita de mistave de kasha de echeman laka v'chever megan love, that even though one is diseased, however the other one is still protecting it, the animal will not be considered trefa. And v'havalei k'nekev zebelei zeh, however v'ikman da'oma de trefa v'chei nirli de loidomi l'nekev katan de chavre megan la'o avokan shekul laka e miskayim ay Yasheni Ayin Sham. Before we continue, let us remember that a moment ago when we discussed the Korkvan, so based on the Gears of the Bach, we saw that Rabbi Nachman stated that Nikav Zebelezer, or Zesh Lekenegazer, that by the Korkvan it would be kosher. Our Gemara now continues that we just saw that Rabbi stated Nikav Zebelezer kosher. Our Gemara now is a Shaila, as he Boiluhu Nikvu Shtem Zesh Lekenegazer Mao, both the inner and outer part of the Veshet was pierced. However, the punctures were not next to each other, since we know that the Veshet is very long. So Rashi states, Kagoyin Zelamaylu Vizelamata. For example, the outer red part of the Veshet was punctured closer to the top, and the inner white part of the Veshet was punctured closer to the bottom of the Veshet. So what would be the halacha, and would it be considered a trefo or not? Gemara brings down two shitas. As number one, Om Mazut Mishmeid Rapapa, Beveshet Kosher, Bekokvan Trefa. If this would occur by the Veshet, ultimately when the food is traveling through the Veshet, it would have no exit to escape and go into the cavity of the animal, as the holes are Shalei Kenegazer, and therefore the animal would be kosher and it would not be a trefa. However, in the same case, where both the Korkvan as well as the kiss were pierced, but it was Shalei Kenegazer, then in this case we would consider the bird to be a trefa and not like Rab Nachman. And as Rashi explains, Hachi Svirle Mishum Sham Meichel Misasiv Sham Umachalchlan Benichlas Benekav Achiyotzi Derech Nekav Asheni. Although by the Veshet the food just passes through the Veshet and doesn't stay in one particular part of the Veshet, as it continues going into the animal's stomach and into the intestines. However, the whole purpose of the Korkvan is for the food to sit in the Korkvan and the gizzard for a while, as food will pile up in the gizzard. At some point, it will go through both of the punctures and will go into the cavity of the bird's body. Therefore, even in the case of Nikrushneim Zeshlik and the Gezer, it would be considered a trefa. However, the Gemara continues, Maskul Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asked a question of Mazutra, who stated his member named Rav Papa, that Adru Abba, Veshet to Achlubei, Upoyabei, Ravach Gamdele, Upashtalei, and therefore Zimdin, the Mahanzin, Bahadi Adodi, that the opposite Allah should be true. And in a case with Nikrushneim Zeshlik and the Gezer, by the Veshet, it should be a trefa, and if it occurred by the Korkvan, then it should be kosher and not a trefa. And the reason is that when an animal uses its esophagus, so it eats food, and then it starts making noises, and it starts talking, and the esophagus continuously expands and contracts, and it stretches the esophagus, even if one of the punctures will be higher and one will be lower, but at times they will actually move up to each other, and at times the two punctures will actually meet each other, and the piercing will be straight through, and will be zekin, and therefore it should be a trefa. However, since Korkvan de Melech Nayer Kede Koye Koye, that since the Korkvan always remains in its place and is not consistently moving, therefore the two punctures will always be Zesh Le Kenegedzer, and therefore it would not be a trefa. This would be like the Shita Rav Nachman, according to the Gears of the Bach, by the Korkvan, if it's pierced Zesh Le Kenegedzer, then it would be kosher and it would not be a trefa. Nayin Rashi explains, Upoyubei Tzoyekes, it's a Lashon of Tzoaka, Sha'afa Pisha Konam Beitzi Call, even though the Veshet is the food pipe and the Kana is the trachea, and the voice and sounds of humans as well as animals comes from the Kana and not from the Veshet. However, Rashi explains that since the Kana and the Veshet are right next to each other and from the rest of the parts of the animal, they are pushed together, so and therefore the Veshet will always expand together with the Kana. Keep in mind that according to this Lashon of Rashi, this would be similar to the Lashon that we find by Miriam, that she was called Pua. As Rashi states in Pasha Shmois, Pua Zu Miriam, Hashem Shepoyu Medaberes V'Hoygel Uvlak, Derech HaNoshem HaMafayis Tina Chabecha. And Rashi brings down Pua Loshen Tzoka, and he brings down a Pasuk in Yeshaya. And Rashi over here continues, V'ani Shemati Paya Min HaShemes. It's referring to the animal breathing, and Rashi's previous point would also be relevant over here. As certainly an animal breathes through its Kana, not through the Veshet. And our Gemara continues that even though we already saw that Mazutra brought down the Rav Papa, the Beveshet Kosher and the Korkvan Trefa, and Rav Ashi stated just the opposite. The Gemara now brings support for the dinner of Rav Ashi, as Omri Rav Acha Breed Rav Yisuf Rav Ashi, that Hochi Amina Mishmeid Rav Mazutra, the Mishmeid Rav Papa, although we previously brought down that Mazutra stated the Rav Papa, the Beveshet Kosher and the Korkvan Trefa. However, we actually heard just the opposite. Even Mazutra stated the Rav Papa, just like you stated, in the case where it was Nikvushtem Zesh Lekenegazer, so Beveshet would be a trefa, on the Korkvan it would be kosher, and it would not be a trefa. And our Gemara now continues, V'omer Rabba, and let's keep in mind that previously, although in our Gemara the Gersa is Omer Rabba, however we were Gersa Omer Rabba, and now makes a lot of sense that since our Gemara will now mention another member of Rabbah, Benegeya the Veshed, and as we will clearly see on Amud Beis, that this member must be Rabbah, as he was the Rebbe of Abaya. Therefore, the previous member that discusses the Veshed was also Rabbah and not Rabbah. And before we continue, let us point out that we know that a Kreshavcha is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. The Gemara Mesechti of Vamas teaches us that Nikev Pasol and Nistam Kosher, if the Makum Zachris gets sealed up, then it would be Kosher Lovi Bekal. The Brisa states, Vizel Psul Shechiz Lach Sheroi, and since the Brisa used Lashem Vizel, so we learn out that it's only over here that it becomes Sosim, that he becomes Kosher. However, if a lung was punctured and then a scab forms over the hole, the behemoth would still be considered a trefa. And our Gemara now continues, V'amir Rabbah, Krum Sha'ala Machmas Maka Beveshet Eina Krum, if the veshet was punctured and then a scab forms over the hole, that the animal would still be considered a trefa. And as Rashi points out, that Rab is teaching us that this din that we saw b'negei a lung also applies b'negei a veshet. And as Rashi states, the kol nekuve du trefis loy mahanal ustima de salka b'ulach hazman. She continues that even though on daf mem chesam and aleph we will learn that if there's a hole in a lung, v'doifin say smasa, and then the wall of the cavity of the animal pushes against the lung, and it's as if the hole is sealed, and similarly ustima is covered b'mora, when a punctured gallbladder is pushed against the liver. Similarly, as we will see on daf nun amud aleph, in the case of stima d'irei chayim b'chal choyles, where in all those cases it's considered a proper stima, and the animal would not be a trefa. And Rashi explains that he stima meikari, in all those cases the seal is happening from something that was already there, therefore it's considered a proper seal. However, once an animal has a hole in its veshed, that even if it forms a scab at a later point, it would still be considered a trefa. And ayin at the beginning of Rashi, where Rashi seems to say a bit differently, as Rashi states, "Ein ekrum v'nika v'nista mafilo also by stima ava ein meskayemes." And it's mashmah from Rashi that the main point of Rabbah is that even if a very thick skib would form over the hole in the veshed, that we would still have to be concerned that potentially it would fall off. And therefore, Rabbah teaches us that this animal would always be considered trefa. And keep in mind that Rashi stated this halacha of Rabbah would not only apply b'negeya veshed, but it would apply in any case where skib forms at any hole of any aver, that the Mishnah taught us would be a trefa. And the reason why Rabbah specifically speaks about the veshet was because the first case of our Mishnah that discussed the nekev was in the case of nikev veshet. However, Ayin Ravon and Simon Reish Chavav, who explains that this halacha of Rabbah that krum sha'ala machbas makab veshet ain't a krum, that this would only apply to a skib that formed over a hole in a veshet, or a skib that formed over a hole in the lung. As he explains, mishum de'achlo be'yipoyu be'yis achoyz of nikev, and that's why we're concerned that it will fall off and it'll still have a hole, and that's why it'll be a trefa. However, the feeder of one, if a scab would form on any of the other holes that we mentioned on Mishnah, then the animal would not be a trefa and it would be kosher. And Agamar continues, V'omer Rabbah, and Rabbah brings a third member of Benegeya the din of a veshet, as veshet ingle bedikah mi b'chutz el b'fnim, that since the outside of the veshet is red, so when inspecting a veshet, one cannot inspect it from the outside, as it could be a dot of blood on it, and one would not be able to see the blood, as it will be camouflaged in the red material of the veshet. And since we already learned that the inside of the veshet is white, so therefore the proper way to inspect a veshet is by inspecting the inside of the veshet and inspecting the white part of the veshet. And the Gemara is bothered, l'mayin afkamina, where do we find a scenario that is a requirement to inspect the veshet if there's a red dot there or not? And we continue on daf mem gimel amud beis, and the Gemara explains the suffix drusa, that this type of inspection would be done where there's a shaila if there was an animal that was already clawed by a wild animal. When an animal is clawed by a wild animal, the germs goes into the body of the animal, and that would cause reddening to the varim of an animal. And as Rashi points out at the top of that mem gimel amud beis, that certainly if we would know that this animal was clawed by a wild animal, then certainly it would be a trefa. However, on daf nun gimel amud beis, the Gemara will discuss a case where a lion is found in the pen together with other animals, and that re is quiet while the other animals are screaming, and therefore we would take it for granted that certainly the lion must have clawed one or more of these animals. Therefore, the Gemara teaches us that in that case, tzricha bedika ve'inasura ad shi'yadim habasa kineged acholol uvisimonim ad shi'yadim asimonim atzman, and after shechting any of these animals that were in the pen, they would have to inspect all the varim of the animals in order to make sure that they did not start start becoming red, as a reddish color is a sign of infection and a sign that the germs of the animal penetrate into the animal. As Rashi continues, v'loishenikev, and we're not talking about a case where it was a nekev, el sha'aris ma'adim hasimin u'mechalchel v'yared l'chaloloi, and eventually it goes inside the animal u'veshen in nikad moimis el mefnim sha'alavon, and therefore Rabbi teaches us that the only way to inspect the veshet is only from the inside, as the inside is white, while an inspection of the outside of the veshet would not help us, since the outside of the veshet is red, and any reddening of the veshet would not be able to be discernible, as it would be camouflaged in the red color of the veshet itself. And the Gemara now continues with a story that will bring out this point, as I hisafik drusa daser the kamei rabba have a kabbalically rabba the veshet mavroi, that there was a person that had a suffik drusa, and he came to rabba to ask a shayla and to determine if this was a treifa or not. And in order to determine if this was a treifa or not a treifa, so rabba was boydik all of the evarim of the animal, and when he inspected the veshet, he was inspecting the veshet from the outside. And Amalei Abaye, when Abaye saw this, so he said to his Rebbe Rabba, "V'marhu da'oma veshet in lebedika el mivnim. You yourself taught us when inspecting the veshet, one has to inspect the veshet from the inside and not from the outside." And the Gemara now tells us, "Apchi Rabba botke v'shtakchle trei kurti dama v'tarfa." Rabba actually turned the veshet inside out, and he was then boydik the inside of the veshet, and he was boydik the white part of the veshet, and he found two reddish spots on the veshet. Therefore, Rabba paskin that this animal was a treifa, and the Gemara explains that certainly Rabba did not forget his halacha, and Rabba namil chadul rabayu debayi, that in chenami when Rabba started to inspect the outside of the veshet, he was doing so in order to see if Abaye will correct him, and he would tell him that that's not the correct way of inspecting an animal. And as Rashi states, chadul abaye kadeshi yishol, in order that Abaye should ask this question, and I in Ritva mesechtes irvin on daf yigimom aleph, where he explains liris my yeshiva dvarv kishapais the sholei kalacha, and I in Ram hilchas talmud torah in perik dal alachavav yesh l'rav hatas talmidim shei lozav uvemaisim shoisim b'fneim kadeh l'chadon ukadeshi yedim zechrim hei mashalim demay inim zechrim vein tzarch lemi sheish l'rishus l'shleisam b'inin acher shein oiskim boi kadeh l'zarzom. And I in Rashi, who is bothered that since this animal is a suffolk drusa, and the only way that we actually can inspect the animal is only after we shecht it, even if one would inspect the kana and veshet and not find any red marks in it, but there is a potential that the shechita was done in exactly the spot where it was red, and we should still have to be choshish that maybe it's a treifa. And as we saw in a similar case on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis, Rashi states that number one, we could explain that when our Gemara is discussing a suffolk drusa, we are specifically discussing the case of an oif, and as the Gemara in Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis explained, that since one only has to shecht one simon by an oif, and since the kana is hard and can be inspected from the outside, so prior to doing shechita, one would cut the skin of the neck of the bird and inspect the kana. Then once he determines that there was no hole in the kana, he would then shecht the kana, and one would never actually have to slice the veshet. He could then turn the veshet inside out and inspect the veshet on the white side of the veshet. However, Rashi then continues that it is possible that our Gemara is talking about a suffolk drusa of a behema, and although previously on Daf Chav Ches we mentioned that there would be an issue, however, our Gemara's issue is not based on the kuvus haveshet. It's not a chash of a minute hole, and the chash in our Gemara is that potentially from an animal clawing this other animal, that the eris or the germs of this animal infected the animal, and we are inspecting the veshet to see if it became red, and that red area would not just be a mashu, and it would be a larger area. Therefore, even though they would have to do shechita both simanim by a behema, however, even after shechita, one would be able to inspect it and see if there was red marks on the veshet, as certainly that would not be able to be cut off by slicing through the veshet. And Ayin Rashi Diba Maschal he suffered drusa. And number one, im oif, that if our Gemara is discussing a case of oif, so he bade the kakana tchilo karaminim perak sheni v'shachar akana v'chshiroi v'achi badak haveshet. And Rashi continues v'im behemahi, and if you will explain that the case of our Gemara is by suffered drusa of behema, but nami is batakanta the bishlei megabin nekev iklameima dilma b'makum nekev shachat. However, zok Rashi abba gabi drusa kivin emekoy memadim afilu shachar bo yesh heka b'mashu. And some have a guess in Rashi the hachinami have a matzlameima nafkamina l'drusa, that really our Gemara could just state it simply that nafkamina of the din of Rabba was benegei of vade drusa, the drusa vadeis nami but kinula ba'adama kinula kamon elashminu the choshin l'safik drusa. And the chiddush of our Gemara is that we're choshin l'safik drusa Medusa, and we would have to inspect the animal. And L'chir Agamar is a Bitzarach Biyar, as L'chir the Gemara could have just stated simply that the reason why Rabbi taught us that Vesha Ein Lo Bedikum B'chutz El Bifnim is in a simple case with a chash that maybe there was a Nekev in the Veshet. Rabbi teaches us that the only way to inspect the Veshet is from the white and the inside of the Veshet, and one cannot inspect it from the outside, as it's possible that some dam will get into the hole and one will not be able to see that there's a hole there. The red blood will camouflage the hole since the entire outside of the Veshet is red. As we already saw on Daf Chav Chesam and Aleph, I in the Baal Taisis on Daf Chav Chesam and Aleph, where he asked multiple questions on the explanation of Rashi and that Gemara. Based on those questions, including the question that we just mentioned, so the Rivo explains that Gemara differently, Ayin Sham, and Ayin Rashi in our Sugya, Korte Dama, Shechil Chala Aris V'nichnas. This really refers to two red spots that came because of the germs or because of the Aris of the animal, and it's not referring to two drops of blood. The Gemara now continues, Amaula Yashiv Loi Kreitz Beveshet in Chayshin Shem Hivri, that even if after Shechita one finds a thorn that was lodged inside the white part of the Veshet, and we don't see that it punctured the outside of the Veshet, we also don't see any signs of blood on the white part of the Veshet, we don't have to be chayshish that possibly the thorn actually punctured the outside layer of the Veshet. The only reason that we can't see the hole is because a scab formed on the outside of the Veshet. Really, this animal should be a trefa, and as Rabbi taught us previously, that krum sha'ala machmas maka beveshet ain't a krum, and even if a scab would form on top of a hole in the Veshet, it would be a trefa. Therefore, Ula teaches us that we don't have to be chayshish that there was a hole in the Veshet and it healed, therefore the animal would be kosher. And we explained the Lashon V'Hivri means that it healed, and then Rashi states V'ani Shemati V'Hivri Lashon Nikev. When the Gemara states in Chayshin Shem V'Hivri, the Gemara means that we don't have to be chayshish that potentially the thorn punctured outside of the Veshet. And Ayin and Mefarshim explain that there would be an afkamina between the two explanations of Rashi, and Ayin the Aruch who explains that when our Gemara stated in Chayshin Shem V'Hivri, and one doesn't have to be chayshish that possibly the thorn was Yotzel L'Chutz. And as we know, the Targum of the word Chutz is Barah Ayin Shem. And our Gemara will now continue and ask four questions on Ula, and the Gemara brings a simon regarding these four questions, and Doris Chaticha is Besakin Tmeya simon. And the Gemara's first question is that how could Ula state the Yashav L'Chutz B'Veshet that you don't have to be chayshish Shem V'Hivri and the animal would be kosher? But the Gemara asks Maishna Misafik Drusa, and why would this be different than the din of Safik Drusa? And as Rashi brings the Mishum Da Ola Arya Beinayu Amrinon Shem Adaris Matzuchin Lebedika, that since there was a lion amongst the pen, therefore we had to be Chayshish Shem Adaras and we required a Bedika, and therefore in a case where you find a thorn inside the Veshet of the animal, so the Chayr there should also be a requirement to be Bedik to Veshet. And as Rashi points out, V'hachalei Efshalim Bedika, the neck of Mashu Ba'orchitzin Shel Veshet Leiminkar, and if so, one should not be able to eat this animal as is a Safik Trefa. Whatever the Gemara answers, Kasava Ula in Chayshin Safik Drusa, that even though it seemed previously that everyone agrees that by a Safik Drusa there's a requirement for inspection, however, the Gemara in Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph tells us that this is actually based on Machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, and Ula holds like Rav, by a Safik Drusa there is no requirement for a Bedika. That's why Ula teaches us Yashav Loi Kreitz Beveshet and Chayshin Shem Hivri, and there is no requirement for an inspection, and it would be kosher. The Gemara now continues with the second question on Ula, and this is the simon of Chatichais. And as the Gemara continues, Maishna Mishtei Chatichais, Acha Shel Chela V'Acha Shel Shuman. Why is Ula's halacha different than the case one has two pieces of fat in front of him, one is chelev and is asar, and one is shuman and is mutar, and he's not sure which one he eats, and we know that he has to bring an ashim toloi, as he has to be chayshish that possibly he did an isar. So l'chir, how could Ula state that one could take it for granted the thorn did not puncture the veshet, and there is no requirement for bedika, and one could eat this behema? Why shouldn't we be chayshish that possibly it punctured the veshet? We know that by nikav veshet, even by mashu, it would be a trefa. And the Gemara answers, Hasam is chazak yisura. Based on Rashi, it would seem that we should be goyis. Hachaloi is chazak yisura. It's certainly in the case of shtei chatichais, acha shel chel v'acha shel shuman, that we certainly know that there is issa here. Therefore, misafik, one would have to bring an ashim toloi. However, since in our scenario, the thorn is not sticking through the outside of the veshet, we also don't discern a hole, and it's not as chazak yisura, so therefore, we don't have to be chayshish, and one can eat this animal. As Rashi states, Hachaloi is chazak yisura, she yeshivas kais b'lei nekiyah. Shiva in a klum. I am Taisis who's bothered that this makes a lot of sense by the case of two chatichais, and one was Caleb and one is Shuman. However, we also know that if someone only had one chaticha, and he's not sure if it was Shuman or if it was Caleb, and he ate it, that he would also bring an Ashim Taloi, and L'chir, in this case, it's not as Chazik Yisura. And Taisis explains, V'chaticha achas, Safik shel Caleb, Safik shel Shuman, Af agav l'yis Chazik Yisura, but even so, l'yis Chazik nami atera, aval hachim yikara, haisu b'chasas k'shira. However, in the case of Ula, once you shechted this animal, there was a chazaka that's kosher, based on finding a thorn in the veshet, we are unable to break the chazaka. The Gemara continues with the third question on Ula, which is the simon of sakin. And as the Gemara continues, why is this different from a case where Sheikhid inspected his knife prior to doing Shechita? Then after he did Shechita, he checked his knife and he found that it was Pogum. And as Rashi points out, that even though in that case it was Leis Chazak Yisur, Kredim Shechita, that we are still Chayshish Le'isar, the same din should apply in the case of Ula. However, the Gemara answers as Mechalik between the case of Ula and the case of a Sheikhid Besakin, as Hasam is the Alvla Reyusu Besakin, in the case of Daf Yud Al-Mun Aleph, then certainly we now know that there is a problem with the sakin, and we're just not sure when the reyser occurred, and if it occurred before Shechita, or if it occurred after Shechita, therefore we're chayshish l'isar. However, in the case of Ula, even after we found the kites, we're still unsure if there was actually a problem or not, as it could be that the thorn did not go through the veshet. That's why Ula is not chayshish l'isar. The Gemara now continues and asks a fourth question on Ula, and the simon for this question was Tmeah, and as the Gemara continues, Maishnah Misafik Tum Rishus Yachid Svekai Tomei, since we know that if there's Safik Tum and Rishus Yachid, and even if it's not a Schazik Yisura, and even in a case where it's not a Siadle Reusa, that we still say that Svekai Tomei, and if so, in the case of Ula, why wouldn't Ula also Paskin, that we would have to be Cheshish that the animal is a Trefa? However, the Gemara responds, Ula Tameich Nidmeil Safik Tum Rishus Raman Svekai Tar, that if you want to compare this to some din of Safik, then why don't we compare it to the din of Safik Tum Rishus Rabim, that Svekai Tar, and therefore certainly since Binagei Tumah, we find a steer in the halachas, as we saw that Safik Tum Rishus Yachid is Svekai Tomei, and meanwhile Safik Tum Rishus Rabim is Svekai Tar, so it must be that we can't learn anything from Hilchas Tumah, and as the Gemara tells us, Elohasam Hilchas Gemir Lo Miseita, as those dinim was specifically taught us based on Halacha Mesh Misinai, and we learned it out from Seita, and as Rashi states, Elohasam Hilchas Gemir Lo Miseita, Bein Lin Tumah, Bein Lin Taira, Bein Tambedav of Olei Gamir Mina, the Hachik Gamir Lo Miseita, Misechta Seita, Repair Kamenida, the Mas Seita, Stirasa Bishis Yachav Asir, Misafik, Af Safik Tum, Bishis Yachav Tzvekri Tomei, therefore you can't bring a Raya for the dinim of Safik Tumah to the case of Ula, and keep in mind that our Gemara used two different Lashonais, and initially the Gemara stated, Hachah is Chazak Yisura, and then in the next question, the Gemara stated, Hachah is Yalad Reyesa, and Zok Drashi is Chazak Shayach Lameimu, that the Lashon is Chazak makes sense on something that previously occurred, and it's Yalad Shayach Lameimu, Midilu B'Saif, and the Lashon is Yalad means that something occurred afterwards, and the Lashon is Yalad is the Lashon of Leda, and a new fact came into existence at this point. The Gemara will now continue and try to bring a different explanation as to the member of Ula, and Yosef Ahum Rabbanan Kamid Rav Kana V'Yosef Akoma Nimtze Sitmar. One of Rabbanan was sitting in front of Rav Kana, and he was sitting and he stated that when Ula stated that this behemoth would be kosher, he only stated his halacha in a scenario where we found a thorn inside the veshed, but it was not sticking inside the white part of the veshed at all, and therefore we'd have to be chayshish l'isar. However, in chenami avul yoshev chayshinan, if we actually found that the thorn was sticking into the white part and the inside of the veshed, in chenami we would have to be chayshish that potentially appears the outside layer of the veshed as well, and there was a puncture through the outside layer. However, a scab formed and it was now healed. And since Rabbi taught us krum shalom machmas maka beveshet ain't a krum, therefore the animal would be a trefa. Based on this version of what Ula actually stated, then it would come out that all four cautions would not be shver. However, the Gemara tells us amul Rav Kana. Rav Kana addressed his talmidim and he said to them leititzisule yoshevet ma, that you should not listen to him. And certainly Ula came to be mechadishtas that even if the thorn got lodged into the white part of the veshet, that the behemoth would still be kosher. We don't have to be chayshish that maybe it was a trefa. Zavol nimtzeis le'itzuch le'ula the kula chevi b'yasa kaitzi achlan. And certainly Ula would not have to teach us that if after Shechita one found thorns in the animal's veshet, bread, then it would be kosher, as every single animal eats thorns. Certainly we will find thorns in the veshet of an animal. Therefore, it's pasha that that animal would be kosher, as otherwise every single animal would be a trefa, and we would never find an animal that is kosher. Before we continue, let us point out that the veshet is attached to the lechi atachtoin, or the lower jaw of an animal. And although most of the veshet is very soft, however, the top area of the veshet that is attached to the lechi atachtoin is harder. Our Gemara will refer to this area as the Torah Beitz HaVeshet. The Gemara now brings machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. As Itma, we learn Torah Beitz HaVeshet, Rav Amar B'Mashu, Shmuel Amar B'Rubai. Rav holds that if after one shechs an animal, one inspects the veshet, and they find even a small puncture in the Torah Beitz HaVeshet, then the animal will be considered a trefa. However, Shmuel argues, and he holds that the only way that we would consider this behemoth to be a trefa is only if most of the Torah Beitz HaVeshet was severed, and otherwise it would not be a trefa. And initially, the Gemara will bring one explanation as to the basis of the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. On Daf Mem Dalam and Aleph, we will see the Shita of Rav Tavos that will explain the Shita of Rav differently than we will explain it right now. And our Gemara explains that Rav Amar B'Mashu Mekayim Shchitahu, and Shmuel Amar B'Rubai Lav Mekayim Shchitahu. Since Rav holds that one could do Shchita not only on the lower part of the Veshet, but even on the Torah Beitz HaVeshet, therefore we see that although the characteristics of this part of the Veshet is a bit different than the other parts of the Veshet, but it still is considered a Veshet, since we learned in our Mishnah that an animal that has Nekuvus HaVeshet is a Trefa, therefore the same would apply if there's a Nekev in the Torah Beitz HaVeshet. Where Shmuel argues and he holds that one cannot do Shchita on the Torah Beitz HaVeshet, and therefore, even though an animal has a Nekev in the Torah Beitz HaVeshet, it would not be a Trefa. The Torah Beitz HaVeshet can only become a Trefa in a similar manner to the way that the Kana would become a Trefa. An animal only becomes a Trefa Roiv the Kana is severed, and therefore the same would apply to the Torah Beitz HaVeshet. And the Gemara now continues, Hey Niu, Torah Beitz HaVeshet, that how do you define the area that's considered the Torah Beitz HaVeshet, and where does the Torah Beitz HaVeshet end, and when does the Veshet begin? And L'chayru, based on previous explanation, so this question would not be relevant according to Rav, as there's no nafkamina between the Torah Beitz HaVeshet and the actual Veshet. However, certainly this question is valid according to Shmuel, and it would be a great nafkamina. Therefore, the Gemara tells us, that Mari Bar Ma'ukva said over in the name of Shmuel himself that if one cuts the Veshet in the area which is the Torah Beitz HaVeshet, so since that area is harder, so even if you will slice it, not only will it not collapse and will not get smaller, but it actually become wider. But if someone cuts an area of the Veshet and it remains the same size and it doesn't expand and doesn't shrivel or shrink, that is a simin that's in the Makom HaVeshet. The Gemara now continues and brings another explanation, as Amlu Rapapi, and Rapapi said to them, Ma'aloi Amehachi, that a Rebbe did not agree to this, Umoni Rabbi Ubabaya, and when he mentioned Mar, he refers to his Rebbe Rabbi Ubabaya. Rabbi Ubabaya explains, El Kol Shechaitchai Va'im B'Mekaymoi Zeh Torah Beitz HaVeshet, that in any area where if you slice that area, two sides of the Veshet would remain the same size, and they would not shrivel, and even though they do not expand, that is still the Torah Beitz HaVeshet, and if so, Ela Ezeu Veshet Atzmai, and what would be the Veshet itself, Kol Shechaitchai V'Kovetz, that is the area which is even softer. When someone would slice that area of the Veshet, then the cut areas of the Veshet would actually contract and would actually shrivel up. Ayin Rashi Diba Maskel Umachiv Niftach Pia Nekev Kamin Piam Tachas. Once you slice the Veshet, then the opening of the hole will actually expand, and this is similar to when someone opens up a sack. And Rashi states, that since the Veshet is soft, therefore when you cut it, it will not expand. The only time that the Veshet will expand, only in the area of the Veshet that is closer to the upper jaw, that part of the Veshet is made from harder material. And finally, Rashi explains, and it'll shrivel up and it'll close up the hole of the Veshet. And the Gemara now continues and brings a third explanation as to the Mokim that's considered the Torah Beitz HaVeshet. As the Gemara states, Yoina Amar Zera, Yoina said in the name of Zera, Mavlata, that the Torah Beitz HaVeshet is defined as the place that's closest to the place where the animal swallows. It's only a small area at the top of the Veshet. The Gemara asks, V'kama, and how large is that shear? Amar Avya, Pachas Misarta, V'odav Mechitza, that's smaller than the length of a ball. barley is longer than the length of a grain of wheat, and this is a very small shear. The Gemara now continues and brings a story with Rava, as a hutur the havel b'nei Rav Ukva the aschal beshchita b'torvus haveshet v'gam beveshet. There was a shear that belonged to the children of Rav Ukva, and they started shechting it by the area of the torvus haveshet, and then they went on an angle and they finished the shchita in the proper makom of the veshet. Let's keep in mind that even though Rav stated an animal would be a trefa if you found a hole in the torvus haveshet, and even if it was only a mashu, but certainly that was only referring to a scenario one did a proper shchita in another area of the veshet and then found a hole in the torvus haveshet. However, since we previously explained, Rav holds that there is no difference between the veshet and the torvus haveshet, just like one can do shchita in the veshet itself, so one can do shchita in the torvus haveshet as well. Therefore, if you Rav, this animal should be kosher, as the maisa the shchita was done in the torvus haveshet and the veshet. Both of those areas are proper makom for shchita, as Rashi previously stated, v'chi gmir hagrama b'kano d'gmiri. According to Rav, the whole concept of hagrama only applies by the kano and would not apply to the veshet at all, as all areas of the veshet are kosher l'shchita. And let's also keep in mind that even though we previously explained that according to Shmuel, the area of the torvus haveshet is not a makom hashchita, certainly if one would have done the entire shchita in the area of the torvus haveshet, then certainly the shchita would not be valid and it would be a trefa. However, in our case, he actually only made a small slice in the area of the torvus haveshet, and the rest of the shchita was done properly in the veshet itself. And l'chari, even according to Shmuel, this animal should be kosher and should not be a trefa. However, the Gemara tells us, Amarava Ramina Le Chumri Durab Chumri Dishmuel V'Terifnele. I actually stated that this animal would be a trefa, as I placed it on it the chumris of Rav as well as the chumris of Shmuel, and as the Gemara explains, Chumri Durab the Amarav B'Mashu, as I placed on it the chumr of Rav. Rav taught us that even if the torvus haveshet would have a hole that's a mashu, it would be a trefa. And although you will ask me Va'amarav Mekayim Shchitahu, and even though Rav stated the area of the torvus haveshet is the proper makom for shchita, and certainly when someone's doing shchita and he slices through the torvus haveshet, so since he's in the middle of the mice of shchita, certainly this animal will not become a trefa, and therefore it should be kosher. However, Kishmuel the Amar Lav Mekayim Shchitahu. However, I also place it in the chumra of Shmuel that Shmuel holds that the area of the torvus haveshet not a proper makom shchita. Therefore, since while shechting this animal they cut the area of the torvus haveshet b'mashu, so therefore the animal became a trefa. Rava continues and points out, and Ishmuel ha'amar brubai, and if you will tell me if you are going like the shita of Shmuel, then Shmuel holds that the only time an animal can become a trefa through cutting the torvus haveshet is only if you cut the torvus haveshet berubai, and only if you cut most of the torvus haveshet. In this case, they only cut a small part of the torvus haveshet, as the rest of the shchita was done on the veshet itself. However, Zok Shmuel kurav the amar b'mashu, but I also placed the chumris of Rav, as we explained that Rav holds that this animal will become a trefa even if only a mashu of the torvus haveshet was cut. Therefore, as we will see in Rashi and Tesis, so Rav paskin that this animal was a trefa, and he took the animal and he gave it to the klavim. As the pasuk b'negei trefa states, lakelav tashlichin aisai, and he wanted to be mekayim this mitzvah. However, the Gemara continues and tells us, el galgal milsim atoy lekamed Rab Abba. At a later point, Rab Abba heard about this psak of Rava and Amalahu, and he said to them, to Rabbein Rab Ben Shmuel Shari, that certainly the shor should be mutar, both according to Rav as well as according to Shmuel, as we explained in Akdama, and as Rav himself explained, that lefi Rav, this area is the makam shchita, and therefore there was nothing wrong with slicing this area. And according to Shmuel, even though the area of the torvus haveshet is not a makom shchita, however, he only sliced the mashu. And according to Shmuel, the only way that it becomes a trefa is only berubai. Rab Abba held that Rava issued a wrong psak. Therefore, Rab Abba told them, zilu armule lebrei Rabbi Yisrael bar Chama l'shalom d'mei ter lemorei. He should go and tell the son of Rabbi Yisrael bar Chama, referring to Rava, that he should go and pay the value of the shor to its owners, as you caused them this loss, and you chayiv to pay them for their losses. Ayin Rashi points out that certainly if the bus was still around, then since the mistake of Rava was a tar b'dvar Mishnah and wasn't tar b'shikla das, so therefore we could be chayiv from that original psak, and Rav Ukva's children could have eaten this basar. However, the maisa, the bus was no longer around, as it was already fed to klavim. And keep in mind that if it was the children of Rav Ukva that would would have fed his meat to Klavim, then Rava would not be Chayiv, as although Rava issued an incorrect psak, however, since it was Tarbid Vamishnah, so in reality the Cheftza of the Basar never became Asar, and it was just a psak that it was Asar Bachila. The fact that they themselves went and gave the Basar to Klavim, that would only be a Grumma, and Rava would not be Chayiv. Therefore, both Rashi and Taisa state that it was Rava himself that went and fed the Basar to Klavim, and since he went and did so be a Dayim, therefore he was Mazik them. That is why Rabbi Abba Paskin, that he has to reimburse them for the value of the Basar. And Ayin Rashi, that Rabbi Abba referred to Rava as the son of Rabbi Sabachia, and Zok Rashi, who Rava the Kul Talmud, Ba Pukte Rabaya, Ayin Shom, and we will stop over here.